called the long goodbye. And if you care for someone with Alzheimer's, you will be acutely aware how heartbreaking it is to watch their decline because of this disease. You'll also know that there are very few effective treatments available. But finally, there may be some good news. The results of an international trial has shown an experimental drug called lecanemab can slow the progression of Alzheimer's in people with early stages of the disease. Colin Masters is a professor in dementia research at the Florey Department of Neuroscience and Mental Health at the University of Melbourne and joins us now from San Francisco, where the trial results have been presented. Professor Masters, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Patricia.
Do you believe that this drug represents a defining moment for Alzheimer's treatments?
I've been working in this field for the last 45 years, and this is the defining moment. This is really a major event in the history of Alzheimer's disease therapeutics. It's sort of game-changing completely.
Tell us more about this drug, lecanemab. What does it do to slow down the progression of Alzheimer's in the brain?
Well, it clears the amyloid protein out of the brain by 80%. It lowers the signal that we can see on a PET scan by 80%. So it almost brings the changes in the brain back to complete normality, but not quite. But that results in about a 30% slowing of the rate of cognitive decline overall, but up to 40% slowing in people who've got less amyloid in their brain. And so we think that going earlier is going to be much better than treating it when it's fully symptomatic.
And some Australians with the disease participated and contributed to these trial results. Is that right?
Absolutely, yes. So you know, the results came in from Asia, that's Australia and Japan, North America, Europe, and it's really a major event.
It's not suitable for everyone, though, and there are some side effects that concern some doctors. Just walk me through that.
The side effects are called ARIA, amyloid-related imaging abnormalities. Most of these side effects are asymptomatic. So we can see them on an MRI scan, but only about 3% were symptomatic, and all of them were manageable by stopping treatment and then reintroducing treatment at a lower dose. So we feel very confident that these side effects are manageable, and there were no deaths from side effects during this 18-month study. We also know that the modelling says that if we extend the treatment for a total of 2.5 years, we're going to see even a larger effect than the one that's been seen at 1.5 years.
In the reporting of this clinical trial, there's a debate about how significant the cognitive benefits of this treatment really are when compared to people who received a placebo. What's your view?
It's very clear. The organization, Eisai, the company that sponsored this study, sat down with the FDA before the trial started and agreed that a 25% slowing of cognitive impairment would translate into a clinically relevant outcome. And we know now that in the 40% slowing, that equates to about a 2 to 4 year in somebody who's already got early Alzheimer's disease. So that, to us, tells us that, you know, going earlier into preclinical disease, which is what we're doing right now in our trials, is going to have even more clinical efficacy than seen so far.
This treatment, as you've just mentioned, you know, go early is the language you've used, is being used to treat people in the early stages of Alzheimer's, and that's detected by brain scans. Does that mean a lot of people may miss out on treatment?
Not at all, because we now have blood tests and other biofluid tests to screen people who are eligible. And we think that within the next 12 months, these blood tests will take over from many of the more expensive imaging techniques.
So you've gone to time frame, and I'm interested in broader time frame for this. How What's the time frame for when people will be able to access this sort of drug?
So we expect the FDA to give approval to this compound in the first half of next year. And after that, we expect the TGA to consider it in Australia. If it's approved in the US, it's likely to be approved in Europe and Australia, certainly by the end of next year, we would think.
The search for drug treatments for Alzheimer's has been slow. Why is it so challenging to produce effective therapies here?
Because it's taken us a long time to figure out the dosage and the correct pathway. As I said before, I've been working for quite a few decades on this now, but it's only in the last 25 years that this immunization approach, either active immunization or passive immunization, has been started. And it's taken us 25 years to prove the way to give the antibody. This is passive immunization of an injection of a monoclonal antibody. It's taken us 25 years to figure out how to give it and what dose and how to manage the side effects.
And as you mentioned, this is your area of, 40 years of your life you've devoted to this. You must be pretty overwhelmed at the early results. You've said that, you see it as a game changer, but on a personal level, what does it mean to you?
Well, it's sort of a vindication for the work that we've put in, not just my work, of course, but many, many people's work all around the world, all targeting this particular pathway, which we know is the causative pathway of Alzheimer's disease. It's caused a lot of controversy. There's a lot of argument still going on in the field as to what is the correct target to go for in Alzheimer's disease. But this trial sort of strengthens the argument that we're on the right track.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much.
Colin Masters there. He's a professor in dementia research at the Florey Department of Neuroscience and Mental Health at the University of Melbourne.
ABC RN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.
Hi, podcasters. Just jumping back in with a special call out for the health report. Dr. Norman Swan, who, of course, you know from RN Brekkie and, well, everywhere, hosts the health report with Tegan Taylor. And it's really worth hearing if you want to stay up to date with the latest in health and medical news. Search for it on the ABC Listen app.